Salutations, Mets fans. Welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week is Greg Karam. Greg, teenagers are in the news. Tweens, really, I guess you want to be technically accurate. I don't even know what generations are anymore. Anyway, they're in baseball news for breaking baseball stories, sort of, maybe, sometimes. I find this all kind of vaguely amusing. But I remember back to when I was a stupid teenager, so if Twitter was around when you were 14, Greg, what stupid thing would you have used it for?
Well, I wouldn't have been breaking baseball news, that's for sure. You know, you're that age, you're hormonal, and you are on, well, when we were back that age, we were on AOL. And I feel like it just would have been like a collection of my away messages, you know, just like some really cheesy emo stuff that just contemplating the nature of life as through the eyes of a 14-year-old. It would have been not something you would have wanted to follow.
Yeah, I had a live journal briefly in the early 2000s when I was, truth be told, much older than 14, and that was pretty much what mine was, and thankfully does no longer exist on the internet.
I'm really thankful that, I mean, you're a couple of years older than me, so you probably missed it too, but like, that the whole social thing, it started towards the end of like my college career, which was just perfect because didn't have the exposure to this kind of stuff that just puts things out there. Like if anything that you do becomes public, it just would not have been a good deal for me back then.
I spent most of my teenage years trolling professional wrestling message boards. If anyone out there remembers the old, I don't know, surprise.
Has anything changed?
Anyone remembers the old, or it might even still exist, onewrestling.com, Bob Ryder's old site. You could find me on the forums there, generally being a jerk. So that's probably what I would have done on Twitter instead. I mean, I still do it. I troll the Prospect Hate Man about his love of New Japan Pro Wrestling pretty constantly, so.
You guys are always talking about wrestling, and yeah. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
It beats talking about Mets baseball right about now. But that's what we're doing. We do a Mets baseball podcast, so that's what we're going to do, Greg.
Yeah.
It's episode 96. Unsurprisingly, if you know anything about me, the Mets got Rey Ordóñez, and it was good edition.
Yeah.
That's it, Rey Ordóñez. I find as I get older, I get more sort of nostalgic, but not like in a nostalgia for those teams kind of way. I just sort of get more emotional about the mid to late 90s Mets. And Rey Ordóñez is just sort of my, like, it would have been nice if they won the World Series, but it's nice to have like good players that can do more than one thing really well.
Yeah.
But there's something about the aesthetics of watching Rey Ordóñez I just find.
It's something that I don't necessarily, like, I remember him being great, but then I go back and watch the videos and I'm like, oh my God, like, this is just not something that you see. You know, it's like Andrelton Simmons on steroids.
Yeah, just, you owe it to yourself as soon as you're done listening to this podcast. Just pull up some Rey Ordóñez highlights and watch those. Because he was awesome. 1996 Mets, not so much. So the agenda for episode 96, we're going to keep this brief because there's not much Mets news to talk about, and we have Everett Cabrera on the agenda. That's where we are right now. It's a bad week. Winter meetings don't start till Sunday. There's some action today by teams not named the Mets, for good and for ill. We're going to talk about the spare crumbs of Mets news that we have this week. Eric Young Jr. was non-tendered yesterday, as was Everett Cabrera, and he's a shortstop, so why not? We also have three emails to talk about, including a question about Gabby Sanchez. Again, that's where we are in the offseason right now. And I will try to assuage the concerns of our West Brom fans that listen to the podcast. I think there's at least three of them.
All right.
They root for the Baggies. That'll come at the end of the show. But at the beginning of the show, we'll start with the non-tender of Eric Young Jr. Eric Young Jr. was non-tendered.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Ruben Tejada was tendered, Eric Young Jr. was not. The reason for this is quite simple, Greg. The Mets have Kirk Nieuwenhuis, Cesar Puello, and Matt Dendecker, all of whom are better options for a fourth slash fifth outfielder than Erik Jung Jr.
And they're cheaper.
And they're cheaper. I don't know what they want to. I mean, Dendecker and Nieuwenhuis are both left-handed, which is not ideal for the team as currently, or the outfield, I guess, is currently composed. Maybe. Given that Kadire might be platooning at first base on the days when there's a lefty on the mound. But Nieuwenhuis is probably a better center fielder at this point than Erik Jung Jr. Certainly more power. Cesar Puello, probably a better center fielder at this point than Erik Jung Jr. Certainly more power. And a pretty good base runner and base stealer, certainly. And not as much raw speed as Erik Jung Jr., but a more athletic, a more physical player. And right-handed, which certainly I think will help, given the current composition of the Mets' 2015 first baseman and outfield. And Matt Dendecker, I guess, is probably still a better center fielder than Erik Jung Jr., though I think his defense, people are he's still living off 5-year-old scouting reports at this point.
Probably true.
So, I mean, Erik Jung Jr. was very fast. He stole a lot of bases. Seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah, but you're not going to pay that guy a couple million dollars to, put up your less than a win or about a win, and just eat up your roster spot.
Yeah, I think there's just the play. It's not even that he's a major leaguer. He'll glom on somewhere and be fine. I just think the Mets are better off giving those plate appearances and those innings to somebody else in 2015, given the composition of their roster slash bench.
Yeah, somebody who can maybe has some upside or something like that. And also, money is always going to factor into it because he was probably going to make a couple $1 million. And, you have basically a replacement type player, for his caliber already on the roster. So I'm sure he'll catch on somewhere. He'll probably. A more established roster that can use him as more of like a fifth outfielder guy who can like pitch run and sub in when need be. That's really what he can provide, but not this team. It's not a great fit. It's really just not a great fit, and it's really not a surprising non-tender.
Neither was Everett Cabrera, San Diego Padres. We will now talk about Greg.
I mean,
I
if
should
he was
say
the
this is going to be a short episode. So, and it's going to be a short conversation about Everett Cabrera. So I will throw you guys a bone, and we are talking about a shortstop. So we'll play the jingle.
Addison Russell is probably not available. Yes, it's Shortstop Avenue Audio. One of their mirror eye, a little bit pie in the sky. Maybe give Tulo a try. It's Shortstop Avenue Audio. Hey, Owings is one to admire. Just please don't stop at Kadire. Since they've got it all wrong, I've had to update the song for Shortstop Avenue Audio.
All right, Everett Cabrera.
Yep.
My feeling on Everett Cabrera is pretty simple. He's probably not appreciably better than Ruben Tejada, but you might as well sign him and let him compete for a roster spot since you have that roster spot available. But there's probably other teams that can guarantee him a major league spot at this point in time.
That's reasonable. I just don't know necessarily that Everett Cabrera is the way you want to go. I mean, what are you really looking to do at the shortstop position? I don't think anyone actually thinks that Flores is going to be the guy long term.